Welcome to Notcast, episode 365.
Yes, looked today, it's 365.
Okay, cool, because it's been 3 weeks.
And we lose track.
Because
we've done 365 of
Yeah, this is 365.
So is the episode title just confusion?
Yeah, state of confusion. I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And I'm Shiva.
And we are all back after adventures.
Yes, various.
I was out because of family emergency, and then I was also out because
My Little Pony.
It's all my fault. I'm sorry, guys. I hope you can forgive me. So, it has been a while, and we're going to try to make this a quick episode because it's 9:35 when we're starting the recording. We're all going to have,
We've been shooting the shit and smoking. So.
Yeah, as we do, because we haven't hung out for 3 weeks at this point.
And then we catch up, and then
We should record.
Oh wait, I came over one night though. Yeah. What during that? Was it during that?
I think that was when I was out of town.
Yeah. We just smoked hookah and hung out.
So I had a bit of a family emergency 2 weeks ago, which precluded us recording. My step grandmother on my dad's side finally bit the bucket.
Bit the dust, kicked the bucket, or kicked the dust and bit the bucket.
I'm leaving this in because goddamn.
So it's like bit the bucket.
I can't talk, kids.
Bit bucket is something entirely different.
Exactly. So she finally bit it, and I had to go down to Warrenton, Texas.
And she burned down the farm. Wait, no. Moved to the farm?
Yeah, she went to the farm upstate. No. That's what happened to my old dog. Oh, no. She's gonna mess with my dog.
That reminded me of a last podcast on the left episode when they were talking about this little piggy went to market. And like, for my whole life, I thought the little piggy went shopping. And I found out from last podcast on the left, because Marcus is a Texas farm boy, that went to market means they killed them and sold them for meat at the market.
And the last little piggy went wee 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 all the way home because he was kept alive for slaughter later. Let's talk about ruining some children's literature here in a little bit. I was down in Warrenton, Texas, which is 230 miles south of Carrollton.
Literally in the middle of nowhere.
It is literally between Austin and Houston.
Yeah.
North of the town LaGrange, mm-hmm. which is like a few thousand people.
LaGrange you can find on a map.
LaGrange you can find on the map, and it was also the place, you know the movie The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas?
Mm-hmm.
Was a movie about the place called the Chicken Ranch, which was a whorehouse in LaGrange, Texas.
Oh,
okay.
So
this town has history.
Yep.
Behold our whores.
Yep. Hey, man,
Dolly Parton. Did they have some whore statues? That would be awesome.
Look, Dolly Parton was in that film, and her tits are eternally good.
Yes.
So, just gonna say, Dolly Parton is cool. Actually, she's like a really good person, too. She's been contributing books to children's reading and literacy programs her entire life. It's really neat.
One time, Kenny Rogers, her longtime duet partner in a lot of albums and stuff, he's asked a lot, are they real? And he says, no, they're wigs, all of them.
So, I am down in the middle of nowhere, to the point that I barely have cell service, let alone data. So I am literally...
My God, we were texting each other like savages.
Well,
using Telegram.
We were texting, and they weren't always going through.
Yeah, like I got one that I replied to, and you're like, "Wow, I sent that an hour and a half ago."
Yeah,
like it was a picture.
It
or
was
something.
Literally the thing. It was is this big white person garage sale bullshit.
There's just white people with tags.
It's literally bins of them lying around. I'm gonna get into the whole white people bit. So this is the middle of nowhere, Texas. It's all about like antiques and handcrafts and all this white people bullshit. Right?
I still think you should call handcraft hand jobs.
I had this moment of realization because I'm out there for 2 days, basically by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm dealing with all these people. And I notice that I can count by the end of this, the number of non-white people I have seen out at this event on one hand. Like, and two of them are the assistants at the table at the booth next to me, and another two had a table that was selling, like, antique doors and shit. Mm-hmm. So, this was the whitest thing I have ever been to, I think. Minus, like, seeing a white nationalist rally on the news kind of thing.
Like that tweet I had about something. I was like, this is the whitest bullshit I've ever seen, and I'm from Scotland.
Yeah. And it was, like, day-drinking wine moms and clones of Larry the Cable Guy.
And you said you could count all the I want to talk to your manager haircuts.
Oh, my God. So many. And don't get me wrong, the people were nice, but it was just really, really conspicuous on how, like, yo, this is white people.
As opposed to living in, here, what we've talked about before, a very diverse area.
Yeah. You know, we grabbed dinner and, like, we had at least 3-4 different ethnicity folks working at the same Wendy's, you know?
Yeah.
I went to Walmart today to see if they had any SNES minis, and no, and that's, you know, the whole area. We actually recently had a big influx of folks from Central Asia. We got a bunch of, like, Indian folk, Pakistani folk that now live in the area. And so it's this very, very, very mixed area here in Carrollton. So it's like, yeah, there's lots of white folk because, I mean, that's like 25% of the population here in Dallas is white folk, and then it's pretty evenly mixed.
Mm-hmm.
But, so you see this, you know, full range of folks here, and you go down there, and it's just nothing but white folk.
Nothing but white all the way down?
But then you actually go into LaGrange, because there's a little Whataburger that you can go to that is just close enough to town to have wireless and network. So I would, both nights I was there, I retreated out there, got some food and, like, a hot meal, and caught up on the internet. Like, did the world explode while I'm in the middle of nowhere selling bullshit?
Is Trump still president? And
fuck.
The answer is yes.
Well, actually, like, my parents, when I came down there on the...
Bring us news of the outside world.
They literally did. They were like, yo, did the state pass the bathroom bill and did they kill Obamacare? And thankfully, the answer to both of those was no. But they're like, oh, thank God. Because they didn't have internet out there necessarily either.
Yeah.
So it's like, they're literally middle of nowhere in an area that was on the periphery of Harvey. There's already this damaged cell network mesh, and there's all these people just inundating the already overtaxed network.
Yeah.
So they're like, we can't get news of shit. That was interesting. And that was part why we couldn't record 2 weeks ago. Is that I was off in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
That being said, it was kind of fun to camp out for a couple nights.
Yeah.
Like, I was completely cut off. I played a shitload of a puzzle game on my 3DS and had fun.
But
Puzzle and Dragons.
More than all the white folk, for what you were telling me, was, like, all this shit for sale, like, all this take the gun from my cold dead hands
sticker. You got all the fucking, like, Blue Lives Matter bullshit, which is just thinly veiled white supremacist nonsense. A lot of these gun culture signs, right? You know, put this on your fence. If you can see this, you're in range. Due to the cost of ammunition, warning shots are no longer used. If you're found here tonight, you'll be found here in the morning. Like, literally these signs for folks that are just waiting for the fucking chance to kill some other human. Like, what the fuck? And it's just, there was lots of it. And it was like, oh, it's cutesy and funny. Yeah, I sure want to blow away somebody in my yard. Oh, they crossed my fence line. You know, it's just really sociopathic.
Somebody said you sent me, I was, like, surprised at. I was like, Jesus, all right.
Yeah, and while, like, they don't have gun sales out there, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I'm sure that if you went to some of those antique booths, you could find some old racist shit. But I didn't get much chance to look around, because I was by myself for most of it.
Racist yard sale! Hope to see you here never!
Yeah. Oh, man, look at that! It's... What is that? Oh, my God!
That's the most racist thing I've ever seen in a frame. Oh, wait! Spoke too soon! Wait, or was I... Oh, wait, no! Oh, God. And it was just a picture of a swastika in a frame.
Yeah.
It's been bedazzled or something.
So, that was my adventure in rural Texas. And then, I was like, yo, I need to get back into town. I said, hey, Google, what way should I go? And it was like, you should take Highway 95 north through Central Texas. Are you sure? Okay. So I started at the Buc-ee's in Bastrop and ended at the Buc-ee's in North Temple while going through all these tiny little towns.
Is that when it finally curved over to Beat 35?
Yeah, where it curved over. And I was just like, man, all these tiny little towns, I'm... sure hope I don't get pulled over in any of these. Are these little sundown towns? I don't know, but I'm just gonna keep scooting along.
Well, at least unlike me, you're not driving through Texas with a boatload of porn in the back of your car.
Thankfully, no. I just had me.
Except for all those intricately carved wooden cocks that your bob was like, this will appeal to the gays. This
we'll bring these to Fiesta. Actually, those would be prohibited. We can't sell those there.
No, they're not usable.
Oh, they're art pieces.
They're art pieces, yeah.
They're artisanal cock sculptures carved from driftwood.
Oh my god, your mom should put some of those in the art show. They would fucking sell.
Yeah.
If you could convince your mom to, like, carve dicks.
No, she would never in a million years do that.
You give her a design for, like, a dragon cock, she'll just think it's some intricate, interesting design, and then, you know, you put it up in the art show, and it's, like, wooden dragon cock. She's
starting
to. And she'll never go to the adult section, so she'd never know.
It's a
make your mom a fortune, dude.
Brilliant plan, Fuzz. Brilliant plan.
I'm a businessman.
So, it was an adventure, and I did it to help my family, and they're like, by the way, we're doing this again in the spring, and I'm like, alright, well, thanks for letting me know in advance.
I will be sure to be out of town that weekend.
Yes, I will be sure to be gone. I will sure to spend that weekend dead.
Well, hopefully in the spring you won't have a relative die, which suddenly means that you're the emergency backup.
Yeah, and what sucked also is that my grandpa on my dad's side also ended up in the hospital briefly.
Oh, he didn't die?
No, he didn't die. Because that would have been like a double funeral, and that would have sucked.
Well, because you told me he had said something like, I'll see you soon,
yeah.
When his wife was on her deathbed. Well,
they're both old as shit, too. Like, they're both in their upper 80s, early 90s. So they lived long enough. Not... That sounded really mean.
Yeah.
But these aren't nice people. I think I've told this story. They're not nice people at all. And so, like...
So, yeah. So we should put out that Saverin losing one grandparent and another being in the hospital is not really, like, a major emotional impact. Don't feel the need to send in your thoughts and prayers to...
Yeah, we don't need thoughts and prayers. We need gun control. Oh, shit, we're gonna go there.
Well, you're gonna go there. I ain't said nothing.
Yeah. I'm full of words right now, let me tell you.
So, there's... Neither of y'all watch BoJack Horseman.
No, we have not. I've not caught up to it. I'm sorry.
I just started season two.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, in season four, there's literally an episode called Thoughts and Prayers, where they are Princess Caroline and our other people in the movie industry. They've made a movie with this new female character who basically it's that she's a badass bitch and she goes through and like she's going to kill all these men that hit on her and stuff like that. They're like, this is awesome. It's going to be like a women's empowerment thing. And then they're like, oh, there was a shooting at a mall. Oh, we're going to have to take that part out. And they're like, oh, this is really going to mess up our movie. But, you know, thoughts and prayers. And they all mumble together. Oh, yes, of course, thoughts and prayers. And they say thoughts and prayers like 80 times in the episode.
Those thoughts and prayers do so goddamn much.
It's like, and I saw someone tweet before I watched season four about, oh, man, the conservative furries are really not going to like this season of BoJack Horseman.
Oh, well. Other than that, you went to ACFI. Alamo City Furry Invasion. You got a mouthful of smoke.
Yes, so thank you for
very helpful
for saying that for me. Yes, so I went to ACFI. So this is a first year con in San Antonio. It's right near the Riverwalk, and they had 738 people at their first year, which is really good for a first year con.
Oh yeah.
We did okay, sales-wise. I haven't done a final count yet. We actually just unloaded the car last night. I've been carrying around these books all week, so I need to do my post-con inventory. But I think we actually did better than we did at Method, but not as good as we did the first year of Fiesta. which could be something to do with like the market overlapping. And some of the feedback I'm going to give them is the artist alley was in the lobby of the hotel, and it was big, like, or at least it looked big, because it looked like there was tables everywhere. And it was right by Reg, and like a lot of their stuff was like right there in the lobby. And I think sales for the dealers may have been suppressed a little bit.
Because alley.
Yeah, because you walk in, you're like, where's the con? Oh, there it is. You see all these people selling stuff with displays and everything. And the dealer's room is all the way at the end of the hall, past the main events room and other stuff. And it's just down the hall on the right. And I'm wondering if the average attendee knew we were down there. I mean, we got a decent amount of foot traffic. I mean, we were making sales probably at least a couple times every half hour. You know, it was one of those, like, slow but steady kind of things. The one thing we noticed was, it was like, I looked at my phone. I was like, oh, it's 10:02. The dealer's room is open. And there wasn't, like, that big rush of people, like, so, like, nobody was, like, waiting in line outside the den waiting for it to open or anything like that.
Like you usually get.
Yeah, and so it was just kind of this slow trickle, and we were like, huh, that's a little odd. That hadn't really happened before. So I'll let them know this, you know, it's not a big secret or anything like that. But we had a really good time. Interestingly, it was a two-day con. Was Saturday and Sunday only, but dealers were able to go in and set up on Friday, but not sell, which is fine because it was pre-established that the dealer's room was going to be Saturday and Sunday. Zio was there. He flew in for it, which might seem odd to fly in from several states away, but he hadn't seen me in a long time, and he's not going to any other cons probably till FC in January, and it would have been like a big break between Anthrocon in July and Further Confusion in January without like visiting us or anything. So he wanted to come out and see us and have fun at a con and stuff like that. But so it was nice to see him. It was me and Zia and Ajax that were down there working the table. And we had a couple real nice dinners. We went out to Rainforest Cafe, which, I mean, most people may be familiar with it. It is sort of...
It's super touristy.
It's a chain, but it's a small chain. It is super touristy.
Is that, like, right down across from the Alamo?
Yeah.
Okay, in that square, yeah.
It's right there on the Riverwalk, right around the corner from the
Alamo. That whole area is so pretty.
Mm-hmm. It's really nice. Like, and I hadn't realized that Ajax hadn't been there. Because, like, he hadn't really been anywhere in Texas except for where Dallas. We've taken him. You know, Dallas and whatever. So he's planning on going back down there on a weekend just to go
tourist.
And explore and tourist. Yeah. But he and Zia both have these little passports that are like the national parks passport thing.
Uh-huh.
That you get stamped when you go to like a national park. So, of course, they both went to the Alamo and they got their stamps for visiting the Alamo because it's a national park.
Cool.
There's a couple of other things that are national parks or state-run parks that you can get stamps and stuff for. But that was a really nice meal, and it's interesting because, like, it's been so long since I've been to a Rainforest Cafe, and I'm being very careful because I kept wanting to say Rainforest Cafe because that word is a lot more in my mind than Rainforest is, just because of what we do. They had, and as we're sitting down, as we're being seated, not the waiter, the person that leads you to the table.
The tour guide.
The tour guide, the Rainforest Cafe tour guide, is sitting us down and is saying, so there's a storm every 30 minutes and animals every 15 minutes or something like that. So, like, every 15 minutes, like, their animatronic tiger would roar and move, and they had a mama and a baby panda that would, like, move their heads up and down and were eating leaves and stuff like that. And then I didn't know what, like, the storm was going to be. I thought it was going to be some they're just going to play some storm music on the speakers. Oh, it was really fucking noticeable. Like, they have a really good sound system. Like, table shaking thunder, and the lights are all doing, like, lightning effects and shit like that. Like, I thought it was just going to be some silly thing I could ignore because I'm not there with my family, really, children paying attention to this. Lots of families with children. But, man, it was actually really noticeable.
Yeah, it's really neat. Like, I've been to the one at Grapevine Mills a couple times, and it's a theme restaurant, but it's fun.
Yeah, yeah.
I walked by one. I've never been in, so.
And we did Hard Rock Cafe the next night, which is another super touristy place to be, but, like, Ajax wasn't familiar with it, so I'm actually telling him, no, all this shit on the wall is actually real. Like, that's really Michael Jackson's jacket that he wore in a show or a music video or something like that. That's really that person's guitar or something like that. And
it's real memorabilia.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, we're sitting there, and, like, I hear a Tom Petty song come on, and this is, like a day or two after Tom Petty died. That's another thing that happened while we were off. So I was like, oh, man, R.I.P. Tom Petty. And I think it was Ajax who was like, because he's super young, but he's like 25. He's like, I had to Google who that was.
Oh, you poor soul.
And I was like, ah, I grew up on this man's music, you know, all those 80s and 90s hits and stuff like that.
Like a month ago, we had talked about, like, let's watch for the next time he comes to Dallas and go see him.
Oh.
Yeah, and then it's like, damn, you know.
They had just wrapped up their, like, 50th anniversary. I can't be right. So, like, a 40th anniversary tour or something like Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. And
we heard he came to town. We already had something booked, and it's like, damn it.
I did get to see him play here. Was it here? Saverin. I'm playing Footsie with Saverin under the table by accident. I can't remember if I saw him here or I saw him back in Florida. I think it was here. Yeah, it was here. It was like the first year I was here, first or second year I lived in Dallas. And it was really, really cool because they started playing Stop Dragging My Heart Around, which was like a super big hit from the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And then special surprise guest, fucking Stevie Nicks, comes on stage and they sing the duet, like, mm-hmm. like the original song, and then she stays on stage for like a couple more songs, and they do one from her band, and like it was like a really cool experience. It was like the open air theater here in Dallas. Mm-hmm. I don't remember where it was exactly, but it was pretty cool. Like, but yeah, that really sucks. But back on to Alamo City. It was a good time. The dealer's room was supposed to be open till 6 on Sunday, but because I'm basically out of time off, like I got a few hours left for emergencies, but I couldn't take Monday off. So I was like, the dealer's room closes at 6, and then we drive 5 hours home, and then I have to work Monday morning, and Ajax has to work on Monday. Tieran was off because it's Columbus Day and he works in a federal building, so he had that off, but I didn't. So I was like, you know what, let's close at 4 o'clock. And I put a tweet out there, due to our long drive home, we're going to close the shop at 4. And, you know, the con retweeted it, which I thought was cool, so the people watching the con would know. And, you know, as luck would have it, closing ceremonies was at 4 o'clock. So basically the dealer's room was completely empty anyway, and it wasn't just us, like everyone else kind of started putting stuff up too. I'm sure there was a few people that stayed to the bitter end. Usually we are bitter enders because we always
get that money.
Yeah, we get those last minute sales, and you know, we're usually always hitting the road on the Monday. You know, next year if they're going to do it again, or if they expand to like a 3-day con or something, I'll be sure to take more time off for it, and actually stay Sunday night and enjoy being at the con on Sunday. But the drive home was uneventful and fast.
No accidents,
no construction. It was actually really smooth. And I introduced Ajax to the audiobook of Red Shirts by John Scalzi. Which he hadn't heard. And it's like a 7.5, 8-hour long audiobook. So we hadn't finished it by the time we got home. he's like, well, as soon as I get home, I'm going to go buy, I'm going to sign up to Audible and buy this book because I want to hear the rest of it because I'd already heard it. And then I remembered that, oh, hey, you can send someone a book. And I couldn't remember what it was, whether he got a discount or whatever it was. And it turns out that if you send an audiobook to the email address of someone who hasn't signed up for Audible, they get that book free.
Oh, nice.
So he basically got to sign up. Red Shirts was free. Listen to that. And then he immediately bought another audiobook that he had been listening to before with Tyrion. And listen to that. Said he loved Red Shirts. I mean, Red Shirts is a really good book.
I keep meaning to listen, read it, listen to it, because I hear it's good.
Yeah, Will Wheaton reads the audiobook, and he does a really good job of it. So it's a really good audiobook.
And that clong you may have picked up was a dog's head hitting the table. I swear he's made of rocks.
Yep, he's just like, whatever, there's a table here. I got clonk,
Doesn't feel a thing.
Yep.
So, yeah, that was... Real, I mean, I can't remember what else I've done in the last 3 weeks, honestly. Everybody, you get to my age, you don't remember shit. I'm not that old, but
it's been 3 weeks. There's so much to discuss, and we also can't be here till like midnight.
There's actually they've done some studies on this. Like, you know how it feels like time goes faster as you get older?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you remember being a kid in the summer, and it felt like summer, those 3 months lasted forever.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're an adult, you're like, it's October, where the fuck did 2017 go, right? There's actually a reason for that. That as you go along, your brain basically starts filtering out the day-to-day shit. You ever drive to work and then think, oh fuck, did I stop for that red light? I don't remember getting to the train station. Mm-hmm. And you just do it on autopilot.
Yeah.
It's because your brain just deleted all that out because there was nothing you needed to know about.
It's like, this footage is going to suck in the Let's Play.
Yeah. It's like this commute that you do every day. You don't need to remember every detail of that every fucking day. That the effect of that is time starts to feel like it's going a little faster for you because you're not remembering every fucking thing like you did when you were a kid.
Yeah, because you've now done this how many times and it's not any different and let's just...
Yeah. So, long story short, I remember going to Furry Invasion and that's about it for the last 3 weeks.
Well, for me, like, I'm in full-on crunch mode for my con.
Yeah.
Last year of Nightmare Nights. And things are going super well. Super, super fucking well. Us getting Lauren was a big gamble, but that gamble is paying off in a major way. So everything's going super smooth there. I got the shipping notification for the con book, so I'll have those here real soon. I ordered some sweet banners from this company, Bing Banners, that have made stuff for us in the past. It was like $10 for a 2x3 vertical room banner. To basically say, you know, this is registration, this is panel room 1, 2, 3, vendor hall, whatever. And I was able to get some of our super high-resolution artwork, and they all came out beautifully. And they only cost $10 a piece. It was great.
Nice.
So I'm super chuffed with that. That's going really well. Went and saw the movie last week. The My Little Pony movie's out. It's got like a 50 on Rotten Tomatoes, but you know what? Fuck 'em. I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a cute-ass film. It's set between the end of season 7 and season 8. The movie, like, straight up, it could have been half an hour longer because it needed more exposition at parts. But for what you got, and for a movie that's been in production hell for, like, 3 years...
Has it really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, apparently, like, it went back for rewrites multiple times.
Mm.
There's stuff in the art book that is basically like, yo, this was a scene where the main six encountered some forest trolls and shit, but that got cut, but here's the art we did for it.
Huh.
And there's even, like, this full-page spread, or this really nice illustration of the ponies going through this, like, ancient forest. It's like, yeah, we were really sad that we developed all this stuff that got cut in rewrites, but we always consoled ourselves, at least there's the art book! So, the art book's really nice and has a lot of really high-grade fantasy art. You know, slap some stats on some of the monsters in there and you can have a D&D splat book. But the movie was a lot of fun. I've seen it twice at this point. Because I went and saw it with, like, the meetup group, and then I went and saw it with some of my con staff. And it really holds up. It's really cute. It's one of those things that I wish the movie had come out about a couple years ago. And it's really evident the movie should have, mm-hmm. because there's characters in the show right now that would have solved this issue in about 5 minutes. Like, the whole
What's her face with the fucking super laser unicorn? Yeah,
you get Starlight with her fucking Dalek beam.
Yeah, he told me the sound effect when Starlight fires a beam out of her horn is basically a toned-down Dalek gun effect.
Yeah. And Discord could have just been like, actually, fuck you, and fix the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not in the film. Like, they were added into scenes, and, like, they're in the credits,
mm-hmm.
and they're cute little pointy pony selves. But basically, if these characters had been in the film, the movie, it could have been a 22-minute episode.
Mm-hmm.
Starlight murders fucking everybody. The movie.
Wait, so she's River Tam, basically?
Yeah, well, like, she's... The character is, to put it in, like, fantasy terms, she's the crazy shut-in mage with shitloads of raw talent and the drive to be a ruthless dictator. She is a reformed dictator.
Mm-hmm.
So she's crazy powerful and can fucking kill.
My little dictator.
Well, in the episode where the Fuck the Fandom episode that I think we talked about,
mm-hmm.
she talks about how she learned this great book duplication spell when she was distributing her manifesto. The horse movie's good, and what's also interesting, this came up today, that there is that Scootaloo, the young orange Pegasus pony in the Skeety Mark Crusaders, lives with her lesbian aunts.
So I'm glad they finally established that she doesn't live in a box under Rainbow Dash's house.
Yes, so Scootaloo, in the 7 years
she's
that the show's...
She's not
homeless. She's not a homeless filly. She's not, like, you know, living in an alleyway, living in a cardboard box, freezing to death in the Cutie Mark Crusaders clubhouse in the wintertime. You know, there's been all these sort of sad fics about that shit. Nope. It turns out that in the young adult, or the young kids, like, mystery novels, that Scootaloo lives with her lesbian aunts. her Aunt Holiday and her Aunt Breezy. And
they're an Earth pony and a Pegasus, right?
Yes. They are a couple, and this is confirmed, word of God, from the goddamn author. And there are people that are somehow upset at this.
Mm.
It's weird. But it's one of those things where, yes, it took them a while, but there is now some official LGBT representation in Pony in this tangential way. Like, never mind the fact that, you know, Lyra and Bon Bon have been a thing in the background for years, and
mm-hmm.
Octavia and Vinyl Scratch live in the same goddamn house together. You know, it's... They're roommates in a single-room house.
And I've known about the homophobia in the Pony community for some time, because when Ashley Ball, who voices Rainbow Dash and Applejack, posted a picture of her two characters
getting married
on, like, a gay pride day, I think it was.
Yeah, it was
something
like National Coming Out Day.
A few years back.
Ashley Ball is lesbian. She was married to her wife in Canada, like, a year ago.
Yeah, and, like, all these homophobic comments, and that one really, really crazy religious pony.
Yeah.
Brony talking about how, you know, this is against the word of God.
George Kane.
And you're fucking up this show for kids or whatever.
Think of the children.
She was like, fuck you.
Yeah. She's like, you should fire Ashley Ball from the show. And they're like, lol. And so, it's been funny because, like, some dipshit put up a, you know, change.org petition, remove homosexuality and fire hateful staff. And Horst News points it out, because they're the people that'll poke the shit and be like, well, what? And the show director, Jim Miller, just replies to their tweet, good luck with that.
Because then they list Jim as one of the people that they wanted to get rid of.
Probably. But it's like, Mike Vogel wrote the book with another woman whose name I don't recall. But Mike Vogel's the former executive producer, and the woman that wrote it with him is the current executive producer. These are the people at the very, very top. This is the word of God. And it's just really weird to see, like, all these people that have been like, oh yeah, fuck yeah, lesbian horses, for so long, and then now that it's actually, like, in there, properly baked in a story, even if it's just some fucking sideways mention, are like, oh my god, think of the children! And obviously it's not necessarily the same people, but it's just really weird to see a fandom that's been all about, hey, this is a mainly all-girls show.
Magic of friendship and shit. And it's like, the fuck?
You know, all these people that waifu a cartoon horse, and I said this today, and it got a bunch of faves, that, like, I think of the most that a lot of these people got out of this show of being fans of My Little Pony is they want to fuck a cartoon horse. And that's,
but they didn't take on any of the actual lessons.
Yeah, none of the actual lessons about friendship and empathy or anything like that. No, they just want to bang a cartoon horse pussy. So, there's that. You know, it's really disappointing because it's becoming pretty evident that it's not, you know, the financial issue, the financial concerns are not necessarily there when it comes to, like, the maintaining, like, obviously the there will be a fall of the fandom in terms of, like, fall off from people just not coming anymore. But god damn it, it's really just a chunk of the fandom. Mm-hmm. Like, man, no fascists at this party. Fuck off. And it's really frustrating because it's like, all right, well, I got 2 weeks and then I never have to deal with these motherfuckers ever again. Mm-hmm. And it's just, get through it.
You know, watch the show, enjoy it, don't engage with the fandom.
Yeah, like, I've been super disengaged for the last couple years since Bronyville ended. Mm-hmm. I just watch the show on occasion, and, like, I really enjoy the friends that I've made, but, like, that's just, like, I'm bringing them into my furry circles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you met Spaz, and,
yeah,
you know, my dudes, and...
Is Spaz coming over to the furry side?
Yeah, he changed his icon to his fursona. He's a kitty cat. So,
is this because of Capra Dapra Paws?
No, but basically it's just like, yo...
Oh, sorry, for those that don't know, there's a character in a movie called Capper, and
he's the
his
cat.
Full canon name is Capra Dapra Paws, which I think is amazing.
Yeah, he's a...
I haven't seen the movie yet, by the way, but I will one day.
Would you like to? I have the... I mean, anyways, it's just one of those things where it's like, man, this is so difficult... Because you're managing a scene that's way smaller than furry, but has way higher operating costs. And you just got a chunk of the fandom that's a bunch of irredeemable assholes. And it's real frustrating.
Okay, so you're very well aware of, like, the problems furry's been having with,
oh, yeah,
with the right as well. Would you say per capita are bronies shittier than furries?
I would say that they are, mainly because the genesis of the pony fandom was on 4chan. Mm-hmm. And 4chan has gone full on fascist. Mm-hmm. Like, they were crypto for a while, and they were on their little containment board, but Hiroyuki doesn't give a fuck, and now they're everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for every episode talking about, man, I really love this cartoon horse, there's dumb motherfuckers posting pics of Aryan, the Nazi horse, and dumb shit like that. It's murdered the board. It's murdered slash MLP. It's very slow now. Mm-hmm. But the problem is you've got all these dumbasses infecting the fandom. And in the furry community, we have a much lower overhead. We're not paying thousands of dollars to get these voice actors to show up necessarily. Like, Anthrocon might have one or two that they pay to come in and be, like, their super special guest of honor.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, with a PonyCon, you've gotta have fucking voice actors. You've gotta fly in these show staff. You gotta fly in these writers. And that's cool. And it's fun to do. But you're always so fucking razor thin on the margins. And you've got this chunk of people you want nothing to do with.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard. Because
it sounds, it's really disheartening.
It is, because I've spent 5 fucking years doing this. I've been watching the show since its inception. And I'm not going to lie and say, oh, this isn't the fandom I recognize. It was never, like, there was always this element now. It's just super fucking evident. And I've made some really good friends, and there are people in the fandom I love and will go to bat for 100% of the time. But there's also just chunks of folks that I just never want to deal with, ever. And it makes that really hard when you're putting yourself into a leadership position and you're like, all right, I need to protect my good attendees from these bad attendees, but I also need to make enough money to break even. Like, for the budget of Nightmare Nights, I could put on a pretty fucking sweet furry con.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking like year 4 or 5 or so Fiesta level budget.
Mm.
You know, it's not a ton. It's still 5 figures.
Yeah.
But it's...
Yeah, yeah.
It would, you could run a...
I'm sure your budget's higher than the Furry Invasion, because yeah. they're just starting out.
Like, we spend more on appearance fees than we had the entire budget of the first year of Fiesta. You know?
Yeah.
So let's... You know, I can't talk hard numbers, but there's so much money in play. It really sucks.
Yeah.
And I'm actually, as much as I hate them, I'm really getting to the point of I understand why Comic-Cons are so fucking expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much just bullshit that they have that costs. Yeah. Yeah, they're greedy fuckers in a lot of ways, but man.
And why a dealer's booth will cost $400, $600, $800 or more at even a mid-sized Comic-Con.
So much money in play, it is a nightmare.
And at San Diego, you're talking about spending thousands on a dealer table.
Mm-hmm.
And so while, like, this is really weird because I'm like, yo, shit's going really well, but God damn the Phantom, you know?
Yeah.
It's going really well, and the thing is, the average junkie pony fan is not the problem. It's a faction of folks intent on causing shit that just have become more evident over the past little bit. And if it weren't for Bob kind of being like, yo, we already announced dates and have provisional contracts ready to go, we wouldn't be doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't be having this conversation here.
Yeah.
But we did, and we're here, and things are looking good. And you know what? We're aware of some people that are like, yo, we're going to try to cause some shit. They show up, they cause shit, we fuck them up and can't deal with them, you know? It's just...
We should go ahead and specify that by fuck them up, he means call the cops and have them thrown out of the hotel.
Yes.
Not, you know...
Not them give over them the balcony. Soap
treatment from Full Metal Jacket. Or...
But yeah, it's good and bad. It's bittersweet. Because it's like, I've poured so much of my life into this for the past 5 years, and I am voluntarily pulling the plug on it because I cannot abide running an event in the current climate.
So speaking of other shows whose fandom turned out to be kind of shitty,
Rick and Morty.
Yeah, give me that Shezwan shit, whatever.
He stabbed somebody over a fucking sauce. I mean, goddammit, guys. It,
Saverin told me, apparently, there is a video of a guy jumping up on the counter at McDonald's and screaming at the worker that he wants his fucking sauce. And I'm like, and there's, you know, there's stories of the McDonald's workers basically grabbing the small amount of sauce that they got, throwing it in their car, and putting it up on eBay. And you know what? I don't fucking blame them. Because if I was working at McDonald's, I'd want to make $300 on some sauce. People are paying $300 for some fucking sauce on eBay.
Yeah, that was so weird, too. Like, they basically memed this shit back into existence. And then they're like, alright, sure, we'll do this, lol. And then they really fucked it up hardcore. Like, I'm impressed at how badly they fucked it up. But there was some people really, like, misbehaving.
So speaking of people fucking up things that shouldn't be fuck-up-able, how about Puerto Rico?
Oh my god.
So there's the latest aid package, quote-unquote, that they passed. It's like, normally, you know, you give storm-ravaged areas a shitload of money. Hell, you know, when there's like an earthquake halfway around the world, the United States gives a shitload of money to help people get back on their feet. But Puerto Rico, where they're actual American citizens, like, so Puerto Rico has a shitload of debt. And what they're doing is they're giving them some money for infrastructure rebuilding, but they're adding it to their debt. And there is debt forgiveness in the bill for storm-ravaged areas, but not for Puerto Rico, but for, like, the other areas. So, like, if you're in a storm-ravaged area in Texas or Florida from this year, your shit's gonna get rebuilt, your city will be fine. But, like, Puerto Rico, like, they're really fucking over, and it's like, these are actual American citizens, this is in our own country, and we're fucking over people because it's not one of the 50 states, I guess, so people don't see it as, like, part of America, and I don't actually know if the president knows that they're American citizens, or if someone should, like, kind of whisper it in his ear at some point that, sir, these are actual American citizens.
But hey, you know, and there was a thing where the right-wing dumbasses on The Donald on Reddit basically upvoted a thing, you know, tell the president of Puerto Rico to fuck off and mind his own business. And they upvoted to the front page, and people were like, the president of Puerto Rico is Trump. Oh, shit!
Yeah, I just can't even with these crazy assholes right now. Hand me the thing. So I'm going to open up my phone here and pull out the little list I started working on of a couple of topics that we were going to discuss.
So my two things of like the last couple of weeks is, besides Furry Fiesta, oh my god, dealers, I went and I saw Blade Runner, and I have to say it is really, really, really fucking good. So we start off, we rewatched the old movie, which other half Siam fucking loves. I was okay on it. I loved the design of the world. I was not as into the story as he was. And I've read the books, you know, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? Mm-hmm. The short story. And then there's three shorts, you can find them out on YouTube, which lead up to the movie and bridge the gap between the two. They're not advertisements, they're actually full shorts. So they're not trailers or anything else, they're actual stories, so do go watch them before you go see Blade Runner. Right. Then we went and saw the Blade Runner on not opening night, but the following night, and it is really good. The story's solid, it's really good, feels the same world. It's really fantastic. I cannot say go see it enough because it is just amazing. The story and the portrayal of, like, Ryan Gosling did a really good job. And then the other thing is that 2 days ago, managed to score tickets to the upcoming Pink concert.
Oh, nice.
Here in town. And we got pretty...
I saw she was doing a tour again.
Pretty decent tickets. I had been to one of her shows back in 2013. I actually won the tickets for my work. It's $20.
That must have been the same show Tieran and I went to then.
I threw $20 into a pot at work, and I won two tickets. But it was a Friday night of Fiesta.
Whoops.
So, Pink is one of my all-time favorites.
So that wasn't the one that we went to then.
So, I find out, like, the day before of, oh, fuck, I've won tickets. And then, of course, we have to pack up the dealer's den, get everybody out, and then run like hell downtown to get there in time for, like, the opening act and everything else.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, that night, it's like, get out, pack up, go eat dinner, people. I need to get out of here and go drive downtown.
Digest faster, goddammit.
So, managed to go see the Truth About Love tour, and it she put on a killer show.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, I tried to get tickets to, because she did the tour cycled back through Dallas, like, later that year.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. We didn't see her the first time, and we were bummed out about it, and then we saw more dates added later, and I got tickets.
And I was blown out of my seat for the first show. I wanted to see it again, but I couldn't find a ticket less than $400.
Ooh.
So I ended up, I couldn't go again, or I would have. So this time we're like lining up, trying to get tickets as soon as they go on sale.
Mm-hmm.
And Ticketmaster is such a janky website.
That's a total fucking ripoff.
Yeah.
500% convenience fee. Woo!
Well, we managed to get pre-sale codes, but apparently they don't release all the tickets at once. Mm. They like feed them out through the day, so we're getting like the ones that get auto-lotted to you. It's like, that's a crappy seat, that's a crappy seat, that's a crappy seat, and then they're all gone. It's like, well, fuck. Look again later, and oh, there's more back in, there's not more in the pool, but they were sold out earlier. Siam did a bunch of, like, he kept up with it all day and finally managed to nail three seats in a decent section. One, he had actually sat in that same section to go see Rush a couple of years ago, so he knew it was decent seats. Mm. And so I am very stoked for May of next year to go see her again.
Awesome.
Because if it's anything as good as Truth About Love, it's going to be a great show.
Yeah, she put on a really good show.
All the high-flying stuff and singing while she's in the, 100 feet in the air, spinning. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's really amazing. Like, she's really something.
Did she, when you went, did they? She do the whole fly around the arena on, and suddenly she's all around she's up on high wires. Basically, she's got on a belt. She's on, cables, and these cables pull her over the audience across the entire arena.
That's really cool. High up too, like she gets, like you could actually see her pretty good even in the nosebleed seats.
Yeah, I mean she skimmed along like the middle of the top tier, the middle tier, because there's like floor, second tier, third tier, and she skims right over the top of the second tier where she had to be within like 20 feet of the audience.
Yeah.
And it was she puts on a hell of a show. It was somewhere between a concert and Cirque du Soleil. She just did so many acrobatics. And most of the crowd was female. There were a lot of lesbians. I felt like I was among...
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't really notice that.
You were among your people.
I was among my people.
I think I just wasn't paying attention, I guess. I was with Tara and we were having a night out.
The funny thing is that we had just formed up our WoW Guild at that point. A bunch of people dragged in other people, including like one gal that everybody had known really well. And I put up on Facebook of, hey, I'm going to be at blah, blah, blah show. And she replied, oh, I'm here too. And so switched over to like messages and then started texting. It's like, what section are you in? Yeah, I'm in blah. Oh, I'm on the opposite side of the arena. Blah, blah, blah. Let's meet up by X merch booth. Yeah, I'm here with my girlfriend. It's like, friend that's a girl or girlfriend, girlfriend? She's like, girlfriend, girlfriend. I didn't know she was a lesbian at that point in time. But that we met up and with her and her girlfriend is like, she's this tiny little lesbian because she's like 5'1".
So you only knew her online?
Nope, I had only met her online, and then she lives up in Oklahoma, and she'd driven down for the concert, and it was just like, nice to meet you. It's like, and you're my people too, mm-hmm. So it was a funny coincidence, but, happy to have met in person, someone I'd only played a game with online. And not even a furry.
That's really cool. It's like a little extra bonus on a great night of seeing the concert.
And getting two really, really killer seats with platinum parking for $20.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah, well, I paid a little more than that.
Apparently, the owners of my company apparently had, whatever the equivalent to season passes were. Mm-hmm. So there were all kinds of things that came up in American Airlines that they would do raffle tickets for, and all the money would go that they gathered.
A lot of big companies do a deal like that.
Went to the North Texas Food Bank. So there was some wrestling stuff, some talk, some the set and the other thing, country concerts, and I would put in for the wrestling things because Siam's was not so much anymore. A big wrestling, and I never won those. Mm-hmm. And then this pink ticket's like, what the hell? I'll give it a spin. I probably won't win, but...
Did you take Sarah or Siam?
Siam.
Cool.
And,
Not that it makes a difference, I was just curious.
But it's like, whatever, it's $20, I'll give it a spin. And then I won, it's like, holy shit, and I have to do this on top of Fiesta. Oh, fuck. That was a really chaotic night, but I'm glad I pulled it off. Best $20 I ever spent in my goddamn life.
The one show that we went to on top of a furry con, we really lucked out on. Lady Gaga was playing in San Jose the Thursday before FC.
Apparently she's playing here next month.
Oh, cool.
Neat.
But it was real, and of course there was a lot of, Lady Gaga is sort of like a goddess to the LGBT community.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, a lot of furries fall into that category.
A lot.
So we're like, I wonder how many furries are here. Like we saw at least 3 or 4 people that we actually know. And I'm like, I know there's a shitload more here. So yeah, that was a fun night too.
Mm-hmm.
So I have some news items. I've made a little gay news section.
Gay news! Gay news!
National Coming Out Day was yesterday. So for those who didn't know, all three of us are queer.
Oh, man.
Actually, I can just say all three of us are bi. I said, just forget that we're all...
And we're all pretty weird, so
we're all
queer.
In the same category of LGBT. Yeah. So that was good. And that got me thinking of, like coming out stories. And, like, I tweeted this, that... So I never actually talked to my grandfather about this, but apparently... Because he was back in... lived back in Scotland. He passed away a few years now. But... He had apparently been talking to my aunt, who lives in England, and they basically figured out that I wasn't straight. And they're like, yeah, we're pretty sure he's not. And my grandfather, who was probably like 90 at the time, basically just said, oh, as long as he's happy. And they were just like, yeah, you know. So then this was something that I was thinking. I was like, you know what? Homophobia isn't necessarily generational. You know, if a 90-year-old is just like, yeah, whatever, as long as my grandson's happy, you know, saying, oh, well, you know, that person's old, so they're going to be, you know, homophobic or whatever. It's like, no, if you're homophobic at any age, you're just an asshole.
Yep.
That's what it comes down to. But that was, and I found this out a few years after he passed, and it was sort of a nice, like, extra memory of my grandfather that I didn't have before.
That if you had had that talk, it would have gone well, and he would have been happy for you. And...
Yeah, because, I mean, my mom had said that my grandfather and I were really close when I was a little kid, like, you know, he played with me all the time and everything, because, like, up until the age of 8, I was local to my Scottish grandparents. Well, my grandfather is English, but he lived in Scotland. And, you know, I only got to see him, like, a couple more times after we moved to the States. You know, he's a really cool person with a really interesting life story. You know, World War II vet, had to defend himself from a charging rhino in North Africa at one point over his career. And just really interesting stuff. And I kind of wished I'd gotten to know him a little bit better as an adult. I mean, I knew him, but, yeah, with the distance of 3,000 miles, you can only know somebody so well.
Yeah.
I was going to say something else there, and it totally blanked, but...
It's okay. We forgive you.
Thank you. I do that a lot. Speaking of Britain, though, Britain really disappoints me with this next headline. So, the headline was... British transgender woman given residency in safer New Zealand. And it is a Guardian article, and I'll give these links to Saverin. He can post them on the show note. That basically, a transgender woman who had started transitioning while she lived in Britain back in 2005, it basically was just constantly bullied and harassed. Sexist gross comments at work, just random people in the street being shitty to her, you know, being shoved off of a sidewalk, people grabbing her breasts to see if they were real, stuff like that. So later in life she said, you know, fuck this for a game of soldiers, and moved to New Zealand. And, you know, as an immigrant. And New Zealand's, I'm looking for the name of the actual organization, it's some sort of council on, like, immigration and residency and stuff like that. Basically, it was like, it would be, like, irresponsible and cruel to send her back to Britain. So, you know, when people escape a war zone and they're like, if you send me home, I'll be killed by some rebel tribe. And they're like, okay, well, you can totally stay in our safe country. Yeah, except now this is happening to Britain. They're like, yeah, you could totally stay in New Zealand because you're safer here than you are in England.
And that's really fucked up.
That is incredibly fucked up. And I know Britain, like any country, has its problems, but it's really seemed like in the last 10, 15 years or so, it's just gotten steadily worse. Like, the politics and the way things are going, it seems it's gotten a lot more homophobic, transphobic, and xenophobic. You know, especially with the whole Brexit thing and wanting people that aren't white out of their country, even though they've lived there their whole lives and shit like that. It's just, so I'm really glad that New Zealand was like, nah, you can stay here, and, you know, good on New Zealand. It's, the article says that she's, like, her mental health has recovered. Like, she had, like, PTSD and severe depression and suicidal thoughts, and since she's been in New Zealand and gone to counseling and stuff, she's, like, immensely better mentally than she was when she lived in Britain. And that's just fucking crazy to say.
Well, it's good that they weren't dumbasses about it.
Now, in the news of other countries that are shitty to LGBT people, we turn our attention to America.
So, hey, those guys.
The headline on
Rogue
this...
Rogue Nation.
Yeah, Rogue Nation.
Yeah, they're...
Yeah. The headline is, Donald Trump to become first president to speak at an anti-LGBT hate group gathering. So...
USA, you... Wait, no.
So, I believe this is a focus on the family thing that he will be speaking at. Yes, he will be speaking at the Valued Voters Summit in Washington, D.C. tomorrow, actually, Friday. And I gotta think, like, back in 04, I remember the presidential campaign, George Bush, W., campaigned on an amendment to the Constitution to make gay marriage illegal.
Permanently.
Permanently. And, like, he didn't speak at this, at an LGBT hate group. So, and that actually really surprised me looking back now. I'm like, wait, Trump is the first person to actually, like, legitimize this. Like, the Southern Poverty Law Center has classified this group as a hate group. This is immensely fucked up. And there are furries out there who argued with me on Twitter prior to the election that, oh no, Donald Trump doesn't hate gays. Look, we gave him this flag that he held upside down with LGBT badly scrolled on it. He doesn't hate the gays. And I'm just... Those people have been very quiet in the last few months. And I guess they got nothing to say now, you know? It's just... This is just all kinds of fucked up. Like, everything about this year, since January 20th, is just all kinds of fucked up. So, yeah, just putting that out there. That's our gay news. Trump is speaking for a hate group.
And, of course, the U.S. In the U.N., you know, passing a resolution.
Yes. Remind me again what exactly that was. I remember, but I...
It was basically a thing to basically condemn, I think it was...
Countries that put gays to death?
Was yeah, that and yeah. America was one of the only ones that did not vote for this prohibition.
The only Western country.
Yeah.
Lots of shithole Middle Eastern companies. And Japan, of all things.
Really?
But yeah, it was like, for blasphemy and for like... people that are not under the age of 18 and pregnant women and like, yo, these are things that, yo, maybe we shouldn't kill these people.
Mm-hmm.
And U.S. was like, nah, that's cool. What the fuck? And also, like, the U.S. pulled out of UNESCO. The U.N. World Heritage thing.
I hadn't heard about this.
Yeah, this was like happened today where it's like, all this fucking global work and shit that has been done for the past 8 years just getting flushed down the drain by this fucking fascist Cheeto. It's like, literally all he's doing is going back to fuck up everything. This is all, this man is driven by petty revenge. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Will no one fix this shit? Come on.
I was going to say, so in lighter news, and move on to my next topic, but it's actually a pretty serious book. I put the little what we're reading section on there. So I've picked up Trevor Noah's book, which was initially published a few years ago. I don't recall what year, but it's called Born a Crime. And this is because in the early 1920s, there was a law passed in South Africa under apartheid rule that quote, native people and those of European descent sleeping together was illegal.
Mm.
And so he was born of that kind of union. His mother is African. His father, what is it, was like a Swiss German ancestry or something like that. And he went back to Europe after a while, after they divorced or whatever. And Trevor Noah was born in 1984. And in 1985, they turned over that law. So he was born the last year that his birth was actually illegal. So that's where the title of the book, Born a Crime, comes from.
Mm.
And it's basically a book about his experiences growing up in South Africa. And he grew up between apartheid rule, you know, Nelson Mandela, an apartheid ending. So I'm looking forward to the read. He has a very readable style. It's not a comedy book, which I guess people thought it would be because he's a comedian. It's just a very frank discussion of his childhood experiences growing up under apartheid in South Africa. So that's my weekend read. I've just picked that up in hardcover. And I started reading, I read the preview of it on the train on the Kindle app, but I've got the physical copy at home I'm going to curl up with and read this weekend.
Mm.
So what are you guys reading, if anything, currently?
Unfortunately, right now, I'm really busy.
I was just going to say, I bet you're not.
But I was super happy today. I found a early edition paperback copy of Dragonflight, Anne McCaffrey's first Pern novel, at MetroQuest resale for my dad.
Oh wow, cool.
I've been getting him into reading. My dad has discovered reading, and I'm super happy that he has. Like, he was never much of a reader, but he's discovered that now he's in his 60s, he's like, man, I fucking love books. And so he's been branching out, just reading everything.
It's never too late to start a new hobby or interest,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And so, like, last time we were there, I found him some trilogy that was written by Margaret Weiss and Tracy Hickman. One of the two there, and then another author, and it was like a trilogy, like the Phoenix something. And then my dad also found some, like, steampunk young adult novel that he devoured and enjoyed. And so I'm, like, introducing him to some of my favorite sci-fi novels and stuff. And so we were there today. Like, they came into town and were hanging with me because they didn't want to deal with traffic. And we hit the couple places where they like to get books from. And I found a copy of Dragonflight, the very first Pern novel. I'm like, Dad, bam, here you go. So, early edition copy of that book for 50 cents.
Wow.
I'm like, I am setting you on a journey!
How many Pern books were there in the end?
We're up 20 plus?
Yeah, I think so.
This is really cool in another way, too, because, like, this is like a bonding thing for you and your dad, because it, like, gives you guys, like, something to talk about.
Yeah, like
as he's reading these.
She wrote from 1965 to 2011, and she died in 2011. She was writing up to her then. I'm trying to find, like, the list of Pern books.
It's huge.
Dragon
Song, Dragon Singer, Dragon
Drum. Dragon.
Aww. Dragon Flight, Dragon Quest, The White Dragon, All the Wares of Pern, Master Harper of Pern, Renegades of Pern. I could go on. I read a lot of these books. This is
Beneath
how I
Pern, Battle for the Planet of Pern.
Pern is how I met Siam.
Okay, so the original book was written, the Dragonflight as a standalone book was written in 1968.
Oh wow, okay.
So 50 years ago, almost. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Man, there's a lot of books in this series.
You reading anything currently, Shiva?
Well, I just finished rereading Brandon Sanderson's Stormlight Archive. There's a next one's coming out in November.
23 books.
I wanted to I was close, and I wanted to refresh, and then I just picked up. There's a short compilation, a bunch of his short stories from that and other universes, so I'm reading that. I picked up another one, but it just wasn't really grabbing me, so I went looking for something else.
Also,
go ahead.
Another factoid here, her first book, Dragonflight, made her the first woman to ever win a Hugo and the Nebula Awards.
Really?
Oh, cool.
So, her, the they would be classified as young adult now. The Dragon Song, Dragon Singer, Dragon Drums was the first adult, like, after Judy Blume and, like, that kid-level books and Nancy Drew that I read.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So that was my gateway drug, because my parents had a bunch of them, and I always loved the covers of these novels, and I wanted to read them. That was the first of their books that they gave me the okay to read, and it was super influential, and that's what really jumped me on to the reading train. So Anne McCaffrey is a very iconic author for me. Cool. Like I said, it was playing on, like, the Pernmoos and Mushes back in the day is how I met Siam and got me, a huge part of my life story right there.
Yeah. And it's amazing how an author can be, like, a big part of your life like that, you know. And that's, like, it's little things like that that just make me really love the power of reading and storytelling and stuff like that. Speaking of reading, as you might guess, my sister is reading nothing but parenting books right now.
I can bet. And there's so many different tangenting philosophies. All you can do is read, gather what you think works, and
pick the best from each one.
The one that makes sense to you. There's some... you guys can probably pick up the wind chimes on the audio, because it's sitting there tinking behind Fuzzy's head.
So it is like
it's very melodic.
It's a very... it's lovely, kind of balmy, probably like 74, 72 degrees.
And now
out here,
a nice cool breeze has kicked up.
Yes, yes.
Yep. And here's Sarah to steal hookah.
So we should really wrap it up, guys, because it's 10:50 p.m.
Yes.
And you guys have work in the morning, and I have shit I've got to do as well. Yep. So, we're going to wrap it up. Guys, we'll be back next week, hopefully, with a full-length episode. We've got emails that have been sitting in the Dropbox for, like, a month at this point.
This ended up being a full-length episode.
Yeah, it's an hour 16 before I edit. So, yeah, full-length episode. It's going to be a quick one, guys. Hey, at least it's not, like...
2 hours, 2.5 hours.
2 hours, right? Yeah. So... that's just because we didn't have a major structure. We just had a couple things we wanted to hit on, and then they just went forever. You can find me on Twitter at Savin Drake.
You can find me on Twitter at Fuzzwolf. You can go to fuzzwolf.com for all my other links and store information there.
I'm on social media, but I don't really pay attention to it unless you at me and it chirps up a notification.
Don't at me, bitch.
Oh, yeah. I'm on Twitter as Chimera, Khymaera. Same thing on Telegram. You can find us on almost everything as Notcast. We have a Patreon that's Notcast. We're on Fert Affinity as Notcast.
Yep.
Which website we never update.
Yep, because really, FA. Why?
Yeah. You can find us our website. Notcast. You can set a theme. It's Notcast.
Notcast@gmail.com. Notcast.foxduffers.com. We go to the same goddamn place. It's like we've been doing this for a while. So
there's also a Tumblr where you can send us quick notes and anons.
Right.
So, on that note,
good night.
And big balls.